But I also want to, you know, as we think about Christ and even His birth, and I think we probably do think about His birth more this time of year than we do other times of year, just because of the way. But yet, may it not stop at that. May it go through His birth, His life, His death, the resurrection. Because that's, you know, Christ's birth was just the beginning. It was the beginning of God's, you know, marvelous work that He was going to do through Christ. And may our meditation on that always end in the empty tomb and salvation in Him. This hymn that we're going to sing is, I would say, it's not just another Christmas song. I mean, there's nothing wrong with a hymn about Christ's birth, but this one, it does go all the way through. You know, it takes us to the cross, to the empty tomb, to salvation in Him, and may that be in our hearts here as we contemplate the words in this song.
Flesh on the throne of glory. Oh, sing a song of Bethlehem, of shepherds watching there, and of the news that came to them from angels in the air. The light that shone on Bethlehem fills all the world today, of Jesus, peace and peace on earth, the angels sing away.
Sing a song of Galilee, of lake and wood and tale, of Him who walked upon the sea and bade its waves be still. For there, like waves on Galilee, dark seas of trouble roll. When faith has heard the Master's word, falls peace upon the soul.
We sing a song of Calvary, its glory and dismay, of Him who hung upon the tree and took our sins away. For He who died on Calvary is risen from the grave, and Christ our Lord, by heaven adored, is mighty now to save.
How vast the benefits divine which we in Christ possess. We are redeemed from sin and shame and called to holiness. 'Tis not for works that we have done, these all to Him we owe, but He of His most perfect love salvation does bestow.
To Thee, O Christ, alone is due all glory and renown. No merit of our own we claim, nor rob You of Your crown. Christ is our only surety in God's redemption plan. In Christ, God's grace was given us before the world began.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. Luke 2:11-14.
It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12:1-2.
Watching there.
This next hymn, as I considered the words of it and even the title, it really challenged my heart. You know, it's by Charles Wesley, and I want to ask a question, I guess, and the title is a question. It is, What is Our Calling's Glorious Hope? And what is the first thing that comes to your mind? I don't want you to say any answers out loud. But for me, I realized, as I considered that question, how much that I have been influenced by Protestant theology. Because I have to admit, the first thing that came to my mind was heaven. And I really don't think that that is the whole truth. It's part of it. It's part of our hope. But I think our real hope lies in to be as He is, to be like God, to be like Christ, to be found as He is at His return and here in life, as we minister to other people. And yes, if we do that, heaven is a part of our hope. But if we do not, we cannot claim heaven as a hope. And that challenged my heart. You know, I cannot go about thinking that I have a hope of heaven if I am not striving with all that is within me to be like Him right now. And in this song speaks of that. This quote from John Wesley: "This great gift of God, the salvation of our souls, is no other than the image of God fresh stamped on our hearts. It is a renewal in the spirit of our minds after the likeness of Him that created them."
What is our calling's glorious hope but inward holiness? For this to Jesus I look up, I calmly wait for this.
I wait till He shall touch me clean, shall life and power impart. Give me the faith that casts out sin and purifies the heart.
This is the dear redeeming grace for every sinner free. Surely it shall in me take place, the chief of sinners, me.
From all iniquity, from all He shall my soul redeem, in Jesus I believe and shall believe myself to Him.
When Jesus makes my heart His home, my sin shall all depart. And though He saith, I quickly come to fill and renew thy heart.
Be it according to thy word, redeem me from all sin. My heart will now receive thee, Lord, come in, my Lord, come in.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ,
who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works, Titus 2:11-14.
For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. 1 Thessalonians 4:7.
It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. Matthew 10:25.
This next hymn is by Horatius Bonar. I read a little bit on his life, and it's interesting. He was Scottish, and he seemed to have a real burden for helping those who believed that their sins were too much for God to forgive. He had a real passion to reach out to people like that and had a gift of helping them to see the light and to see that the blood of Christ is a more precious thing to God. It so overshadows, you know, the sin of the world. His blood was able to take away the sin of the world, and getting people to be able to see that truth. He seemed to have a gift for that. He was involved in some Scottish revivals and was actually a fellow student and worked with Robert Murray McShane. But this particular hymn that he wrote is not necessarily about being born again, like a lot of his hymns were, but it's rather talking of some of the glory of God and of Christ. And he's speaking of the water of life and the pure crystal river flowing from the throne of God that we read about in Revelation. And as I was contemplating on this, you know, Jesus speaks of the water of life or living water a couple of times. And also in Revelation, Jesus mentions it again. And Jesus in John 7:39 says that this living water, this water of life, is the Holy Spirit. And in Revelation, we have a picture, really, of the Trinity. You know, I think of the tree of life mentioned in Genesis, and in Revelation, it's a type of Christ. You know, and here you have this picture in Revelation of the throne of God, God sitting on his throne, and this pure crystal river coming from it, you know, as the Holy Spirit. And it says the tree of life is in the midst of the river, and, you know, that's a type of Christ. And you have this beautiful picture of the Trinity and how that all works together. And Jesus says, you know, that we should drink of that water of life. You know, he talks about that in the account of the woman at the well and in Revelation. And I had to think of, you know, we are to be abiding on the vine, abiding in Christ. And we should also be drinking from that fountain, from the river of the water of life, you know, and be filled with his Spirit. And in the gospel it says that when we do that, out of us shall flow rivers of living waters. And we need to be that. We need to be spending time with God and drinking from that fountain so that as those rivers flow from us, we can bless people, we can encourage people, and we can show them the reflection of God in our lives.
Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 4:13.
If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. John 7:37-39.
I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Revelation 21:6.
And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb.
In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations.
And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him.
And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 22:1-5.
Fresh from the throne of glory, bright in its crystal gleam, bursts out the living fountain, swells on the living stream. Blessed river, let me ever feast my eyes on thee.
Stream full of life and gladness, spring of all health and peace, no harps by thee hang silent, nor happy voices cease. Tranquil river, let me ever sit and sing by thee.
River of God, I greet thee. not now afar, but near. My soul to thy still waters hastes and its thirstings here. Holy River, let me ever drink of only thee.
Revelation 22:7.